Welcome back, Pastor Arden Gilmer.
Thank you. I brought some luggage. I may be staying a while. Well, good morning. Greetings in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. How many days is it till August the 1st? About three, four? And why do I ask? Well, it's hard for me to believe that on August the 1st, it will be 40 years since I became the lead pastor of Park Street Brethren Church. 10 years have passed since I retired as lead pastor here. Since then, I've done some preaching, teaching, and a little writing. Had a 9.5-month interim pastorate at Grace Community Church in Winchester, Virginia. On June the 3rd of last year was the last time I preached. We'll see if I can remember how to do it. That was a message for Brad Reeves, who is an ordination sermon for him, and he's the pastor who followed me at Grace Community Church. He and I have become very, very close friends. Family circumstances have made it difficult for me to accept preaching opportunities, but I certainly wanted to respond affirmatively when Pastor Nate asked me to bring a message in the Victory Lap series. What a series that has been, with very fine, excellent preaching. So here we are today, and I'm humbled to be here. The living Lord and the people of Park Street have contributed mightily to my growth in the Lord and in ministry. Until Pastor Nate came along, I was the second youngest person called to be the pastor of Park Street Brethren Church. Now I'm the third youngest. Two previous pastors of Park Street still live on planet Earth. I am thrilled with what is currently happening in all age levels of the life and ministry of Park Street, and I'm so glad that I've been invited to be a part of it. I love seeing all of the people of childbearing years here and the resulting children. We have contributed six of our great-grandchildren are a part of this, along with their parents, obviously. I love seeing all the new people here when I come, who may be asking, who is this Arden guy? I love and am extremely thankful for the faithful people that have been a part of the life of Park Street Brethren Church for many years. I am regularly blessed, inspired, challenged by Pastor Nate's preaching. Thanks, Nate. And also by the... by the other preachers in the Victory Lap series. I was really tempted to spend my time today with a trip down memory lane, mentioning some of the Lord-anointed things that took place in this building in those 30 years. I thought about mentioning that on June the 12th, 1994, 20 people were baptized here. And on February the 6th, 2005, 23 people were baptized in this baptistry. I thought about mentioning that, but I won't. Obviously, there were many other baptisms, but those were the largest. Joanne Ronk and I shared in many worship services, weddings, and funerals in this building. And I seriously doubt that I'll be preaching when I'm 93, but she is here still at the organ. Thank you, Joanne. Worship services, baptisms, anointings, ordinations, commissioning of missionaries, child dedications, music celebrations, special services, and ministry decisions have taken place within these walls, and I'm sure I miss some. Today I'd like to ask the question, what caused these things to happen? Did these four walls cause these things to happen? Is there a better question, a deeper question? And I personally believe there is. What do you think it is? Well, let's dig a little deeper this morning. Have you ever been at a cross-country race and heard the coach yell to the runners, "Dig deeper, dig deeper"? Well, this morning we're going to dig deeper. Join me in that exercise. The title of my message this morning is The Unique Building. Notice I am not saying an unique building. I am saying the unique building. The building is unique because of several reasons. The building is unique because it has a unique builder and unique building materials. Let's take a look at some essential passages of the scripture. First of all, the unique builder. Jesus was speaking with his disciples on one occasion. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 16 for us. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, always the spokesman, answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So the question is, what was the rock which Jesus referred to here? It was not Peter, but Peter's confession of the person of Jesus Christ. I think if we'd had a video of this encounter and we could see it, at least in my mind's eye, I can see Jesus pointing to himself when he said, on this rock I will build my church. Jesus is the unique builder of this unique building. Now, let's look at some of the proper building materials for this unique building. First, there are some materials that are not unique when it comes to building, right? In Mark 13, Jesus and his disciples were leaving the temple, that massive temple in Jerusalem. And one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. And Jesus replied, do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Even if they last for centuries, all building materials that are physical are by nature ultimately temporary and subject to deterioration, decay, and destruction. This is true of both the most magnificent and most humble human structures. I was so saddened, as I'm sure all of you were, to see the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris on fire. Hey, but it's a physical building, as magnificent as it was. If you own your own home, as you know, things deteriorate and decay, and you have to repair them, seems constantly at least. It's also people, true of people, who conceive these things, design and build these structures. The Apostle Peter emphasizes this point by quoting Isaiah 40. Verse 6 and following, when he says, for all people are like grass. He's talking about us. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. According to Jesus, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. Peter clearly states the transformational nature of the Word of God on human lives in his first chapter of his first letter when he says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and enduring Word. This Word is another building material for this unique building. Now let's go back to Jesus. He radically redefines and enhances the meaning of the word temple. In John chapter 2, we have the record of Jesus coming and cleansing the temple, throwing out all of the money changers and all of their animals, and just cleaning house in the temple. And the Jewish leaders weren't happy about that. They came and said to him, what sign can you give to show us that you have to prove your authority to do all this? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Whoa, they replied. No, that's not what it says. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? Here's the punchline. But the temple Jesus had spoken of was his body. In effect, Jesus was saying, I am the temple. This is an indirect I am statement he added to the other I am statements that are in John's gospel, like I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And you know those I am statements. And the word records that after Jesus' resurrection, his disciples remembered what he had said. Not only is the ever-living Jesus the builder of the temple, he is the fulfillment of all that the temple represented. In fact, he replaces the building itself, and his temple is eternal, essential, and imperishable. Now, let's go on in our investigation about this unique building. The unique building is also unique because of its unique building materials. Now we hear again from the Apostle Peter, a disciple of Jesus who was present in the two encounters we have just referenced. He heard the words of Jesus in the first person. He was there. So let's see what Peter says about the unique builder and the unique building materials of the church. In his chapter 2 of his first letter, beginning with verse 4, he writes, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." There are two identity questions in this passage of Scripture. The first one is, who is the living stone? And secondly, who are the living stones? The living stone is Jesus, the Messiah. This is clear from verses 6 through 8 as it uses Old Testament passages and the responses of people to the Messiah as the means for identifying the living stone. Incidentally, this is just a throwaway, okay? Incidentally, if Peter had understood that Jesus was referring to him as the rock on which the church would have been built, this would have been the obvious time for Peter to dramatically declare it. But Peter doesn't say a word about that, but unmistakably and profoundly focuses on Jesus as the Messiah, the one chosen by God and precious to him, and chosen the chosen and precious cornerstone. Peter builds this around an acceptance-rejection theme and the consequences of each response. Some will accept this living stone, some will reject. What are the consequences of both? The Bible says, "For in Scripture it says, see, I lay," this is the Lord Yahweh, "I lay in a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble." Isn't that true? "And a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." Clearly, 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 the living stone is Jesus Christ. Now let's go on to the second identity question. Who are these living stones? Again, verses 4 and 5. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Whoa, living stones? I think that's an oxymoron. This is an interesting metaphor, isn't it? Can these stones live? Can these stones live? Well, the answer is yes for what they represent in this metaphor. We all spiritually before Christ are dead, the Bible says. We're dead in our trespasses. Spiritually dead, because the wages of sin is death. And how do we come to life spiritually? Who are these living stones? What is their identity? They are the ones who come to the living stone. Through their acceptance of the living stone, they are transformed. Dead, inanimate stones are transformed into those who are full of life, a life that they do not create, and they indeed cannot create this life. It's beyond the realm of possibility for them to do that. So how do they become living stones? How do you and I become living stones? They receive their life, capitalized, bold-faced, underlined, that life, from relationship with the living stone, Jesus Christ. Now, as living stones, the word declares, they are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wow! Talk about transformation. You and I, believers and followers of Jesus Christ, are transformed into unique building materials for this unique building. We are now alive in Christ and living out of His life. We are transformed and are being built, a process going on, into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and we offer spiritual sacrifices, not out of ourselves, but out of Jesus Christ, the one who is the living stone, out of His life. Thus, these sacrifices are acceptable to God because they come through Jesus Christ. In our current lives, we are unique building materials for this unique building. And as a result, we have unique functions within this spiritual temple. The immediate context of chapter 1 and chapter 2 here in Peter as a first letter provides some character traits for these living stones. Here's some of them. By obeying the truth, they become purified themselves. They love each other deeply from the heart. They rid themselves of relationship killers. Every one of these things is a relationship killer. Malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. That'll kill a relationship, won't it? How do they do this? How do they overcome these things? Through a ravenous craving for the Word of God that results in growth in their salvation. Salvation, you remember, is both an event and a process that keeps going on. This craving came because they tasted that the Lord is good. In addition to these living stones, these transformed people have a specific identity. These transformed living stones are being built into a spiritual house. The early church was not defined by their building. I don't think Peter had any problem writing spiritual house at all. He wasn't encumbered by some physical building because they simply had no buildings. In verses 9 and 10 of this passage, elaborates further on the identity of these living stones. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is who we, the living stones, are in Christ. All of these are words in the Old Testament to describe Israel and its spiritual identity. So there's an organic and essential unity between Israel and the church. Now, what's the mission of these living stones, you and me? The Bible declares it in verse 9. Our mission arises out of our transformed identity in Christ. What are we to do? We are to declare the praises. That means the virtues, the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We are to declare what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. We are to exalt Jesus and not become sidetracked from lifting up Jesus. Jesus said in another passage, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, and as a result, glorify your Father in heaven." Our light and our life are derived from Jesus Christ. We receive them from the risen Christ, and we are to grow into becoming better and better channels of both. My mind goes back to being a kid in a brethren church in Indiana, and we sang, "This little light of mine." Did you sing it? Join me. "I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine." I'm sure there's some other verses, but we'll spare it at that point. Isn't it interesting how such spiritual truth can be put into a way that we remember it for all of our lives, and it's dynamic in that way. So how does Peter answer our questions? My basic question is, what caused all these things, some of which I enumerated earlier, to happen in this building? Did these walls cause them to happen? For me, a better question is, who caused these things to happen? And what has surfaced to answer that question as we have dug deeper? Throughout the years of its existence, many wonderful ministries have happened in many lives, certainly mine included, and have been touched deeply in this building. We rejoice in them and celebrate them to the glory of our Lord, hence this victory lap. But at the same time, we know that these things didn't happen because of this building. They happened because of the living stone, Jesus Christ, and the born-again living stones, who are the committed followers of Jesus Christ, who as channels of his life and light served him and others so that they too could experience the life and light of Jesus Christ. The unique builder of this unique building is the risen Jesus Christ, and he is building his church. He is at the center. He is the builder. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is the capstone. He is the temple. Ephesians 2 states that Jesus breaks down the walls that divide. He is the source of our spiritual life. We live and serve out of his life. He transforms us into the unique building materials of this unique building. I have some more things in my luggage. Two bricks. Now, there's a story behind these two bricks. In 1998, Grant State School was torn down. It stood right over here on the corner of College and Grant, where the University Business Building now stands. I was on my way home from lunch from the office here, and I drove by, and I saw that the demolition had begun. And I got home and I shared it with Bobby, and tears came to her eyes. Tears came to her eyes because she had spent many years as a teacher, an elementary teacher in Grant Street School, along with people like Jan Reinhart and Karen Weidenhammer. Why did she cry? You'll have to ask her. And she said, "Arden, will you get me a couple bricks?" So I said, "Yes, honey, I will get you a couple bricks." So on my way back to the office after lunch, I stopped, and they had it all fenced off, but I found a way to get in and get a couple of bricks. And these are the bricks. I took them home. They were significant for about 15 minutes. In fact, when I started thinking about this, I thought, I wonder where those bricks are. I obviously found them. But they weren't center in anything that we did in our house. Now, I have to follow this story up with a sequel. It was several years later. I think I had already retired. I don't remember exactly. But I had to buy something out at Tractor Supply Company's store. And as I entered the store, there were two ladies that went into the store ahead of me. And when we got into the store, the younger of the two turned around and said to me, "You're Pastor Gilmer, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I want to tell you something." She said, "I had your wife as a teacher at Grant Street School. And since then, I've obviously graduated high school, I've earned a bachelor's degree, and I've earned a master's degree." And then she said, "Your wife is the best teacher I ever had. In all of that, the best teacher I ever had." I ran home to tell Bobby what had happened, what had taken place. Now, what made the difference? Bobby and the staff there, as in many schools, they were the living bricks. They were the living stones. It wasn't about the building itself. You know, we call buildings facilities. That means they facilitate something. But it doesn't mean they're the center focus of everything. Neither bricks or mortar serve as primary identifiers of the church. You and I do as the living stones. I hope you'll bear with me. I want to get a picture of living stones. Smile. You all, even balcony, you all are living stones. Now I have a picture to prove it. I want to suggest that when this building starts to come down, that you come by and pick up a brick and take it home and write on it, "In Christ I am a living stone." And when this victory, and then this victory lap will never end. It will continue in a new and living way through our lives that are filled with the Spirit and the life of Jesus Christ. The process of Christ building his spiritual house continues and will continue. Now, turn to someone who's seated with you and say, "In Christ, I am a living stone, and so are you." Was that too long? "In Christ, I am a living stone, and so are you." Jesus Christ, the unique master builder, is constructing a unique building, his church. Using unique building materials, you and me and all who accept and follow him. This unique building has dynamics that are essential regardless of the physical facility a church has. What are these dynamics? Christ at the center. Christ at the center. And he and his life are transformational. Jesus is both never changing and ever changing. Sherry, how many changes did we go through in the 20 years you were on staff? In addition to that, we'd say something's always changing. Well, rightly so, but Jesus never is changing. He's the center. He's the foundation. Transform people who know and humbly creatively live out of their relationship with Christ are the essential dynamic in this building. Everywhere we are and with everyone that we meet, we are those living stones. These essential dynamics have worked in this building. Yes, they have, in this building, in a multitude of ways, but the source was not this building. Their source was who? The living stone, Jesus Christ, manifested through living stones, his followers, who were fulfilling their mission. And you know what? We take these dynamics with us into our newly refurbished facilities. To God be the glory. May I pray? Well, Lord, what a mighty vision you have laid out for us. And it's not just a vision of, oh, this ought to be that we aspire to. It's a vision that is, because it comes from you, the ever-living Lord who was and is to come. It's the eternal vision that you have as you build your church. And Lord, we are so blessed and privileged here at Park Street to be a part of that fulfillment of that vision in our own environs. I thank you for all the living stones that you have put into my life and for how my life has been enriched through my brothers and sisters as we focus on you at the center of it all. May all the ministries that take place in this building and yes, out in this community through the living stones of Park Street Brethren Church, may they be blessed with your life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.